Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. What a beautiful day to gather together to praise God and fellowship with each other in these holy days. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out around here around among you in mission and ministry together. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways. You saw lots of opportunities scrolling through on the screen as we were waiting for worship to begin today. You'll also find those on in your bulletin and on the connection card. If you take a moment to check that connection card out, fill it out, let us know you are here and how we might get you connected and what you might be interested in being a part of here. I want to welcome our online congregation this morning and know that we are pleased to have you join this celebration as well today. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs. They're bright yellow, hard to miss. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please fill one of those out. We will get it to our prayer team as well as to the clergy to pray for those individuals and their needs. This morning in worship, we have Bruce Stark and Bob Hemphill helping with worship this morning. The choir, as you can see, is here with us this morning. Music by Susan and the choir will be a blessing to us all. If you are waiting for Sunday school, we ask that the children remain here until the story time has been read, and then they'll head downstairs to Sunday school. The nursery is open, so if you need to get a little one to the nursery, that is available right now. But please have your kids stay for the beginning of worship this morning. I have three announcements, the first of which is the all-church worship. It's in 2 weeks, September 29th, 10 o'clock. Put it in your head, put it on your calendar, one service. There'll be no worship at Whitmore Lake. The worship will be here 10 o'clock, and there'll be a lunch afterwards. We are planning for 250 people. That means y'all better show up. That's a lot of food, and I can't eat it, so y'all gotta come. Prior to that happening, though, we've got September 22nd for the cornhole tournament and chili cook-off. That requires online registration, obviously, so they can get those correct numbers and get that tournament roster set up and who's going to be a part of that. And then if you are entering something in the chili cook-off, they want to know that and be prepared for that. The proceeds for the chili cook-off will be going to Readers to Leaders. And again, the registration is online. And lastly, we have managed to once again fundraise enough. We have a second van for Redbird. Redbird is initiating a new outreach to families in their area, and so we are going to be doing a diaper drive. We're going to send the van down to Redbird full of diapers. So if you see boxes of diapers, don't think there's anything strange going on at church. We're hoping to pile them up big time and fill that van. So if you can, get a box of diapers, bring it by, and drop it off so we can get it in that van. Those are my announcements for this morning. We're going to begin with singing How Can We Name a Love? Please rise and join in our opening song.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we lift our hearts to you. We humbly come before you, seeking your presence. We are imperfect, but you are the perfect God of all. Guide us with wisdom and lead us with mercy, so that we might become more like you in all that we do. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Thank you, choir, for leading us in a song this morning. We are in the midst of a sermon series about children's books, and the book that I want to read to you today is a really special one here in our church. It was written actually in a process with Susie and Denny Dahlman's daughters, and so they're here this morning to hear this story, but this book is all about confronting your fears. So if you are a child and you want to come forward to hear the story, you're welcome to. If you are an adult and you need help confronting your fears, you can come forward as well. The book's pictures will be up on the screen. So if you feel comfortable sitting where you are, you're welcome to do that as well. All the words will be up there as we read this story together. Good morning, guys. How are you doing? And just as we get started here, for our folks who are watching online, we're going to cut actually to a video of a worship song, so you're welcome to watch that, and then we'll bring you back in just a moment here. What is it called?
The Fear of the Ocean.
What's the name for it?
Thalassophobia.
Thalassophobia. I just learned something new today. Thanks for educating me. What other ones do you have? Do you have any other ones? Any other phobias?
That's what I can think of right now.
Okay. That's good. What I have learned was, as I was preparing for this message, that one of the most powerful things that we can do is just say we're afraid of something. And it's amazing how just saying it sometimes can help us feel a little bit better, because sometimes we find out somebody else is afraid of it too. And we can talk about how we overcome our fears, and they tell us how they overcome their fears. We're like, shoo, I'm not alone, because I don't know anybody who's never been afraid of anything, not even me. I'm still afraid to preach, and I do it every week.
Stage fright,
that's right. So I'm going to invite you guys to head out to Sunday school, and I know that there's a special class that is being taught to you in conjunction with this book. So I invite you guys to head out to Sunday school if you'd like, and we'll see you guys after the service. Thanks for coming forward to story time. What are you afraid of? Dreams.
Night dreams.
Night dreams, for sure.
I have to confess I have Jaws-a-phobia. Anybody remember Jaws? Yeah. And some butterflies when I come up here as well. Our scripture reading today is Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 6. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bob, for reading our scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who gives us strength to overcome our fears. Amen. Well, I really thank you, Susie and Denny, for sharing that book with us and for the journey that that book took to get to the press. That book is used actually in therapy settings for kids who are looking to overcome their fears. And so that's a text that gets used that way, and you can see why. It starts with a little boy who's afraid, who's anxious about some of the things that are coming up in his life, and he's able to name out loud that he's afraid, and his mom helps him in a variety of different ways. And what I love about that book is at some point, Max is able to start naming for other people in his sphere of influence their fears and help them through their fears as he confronts his own. And that's what I loved about that story as I was reading it, is it sort of takes you through the entire journey of being afraid of something to getting to a point where you're able to work up your fortitude and strength to go out and do something that maybe you were afraid of. And I just wanted to start this morning. This is sort of like an ask the audience question. I was Googling what the top 10 fears are in our world today. So I'm just curious. You can shout it out. I'll amplify it to make sure the folks online can hear it. What do you think is on the top 10 list of things that people are afraid of in the world today? And I'm not talking about like real stuff. First, I want to start with some of the things that are, you know, fascinating or interesting or idiosyncratic or whatever. What are the things that you think would make the top 10 list of things? Yeah, Maggie.
Heights.
Yep, that's on the list for sure. Anything else? Yeah, Russ. Fear of failure. That's on the second list because that's a pretty legitimate one. But and these are legitimate too, but they're just, I don't know how to say it right. Some are, you know, sort of grounded, and some they would describe as maybe irrational or not grounded. What was it?
Flying.
Flying is on the list number five. Anybody else? Yes.
Stairs.
Yes. Oh, heights. Sort of. And climbing stairs, also legitimate, probably. Yes, for sure. Yeah, Susan. Snakes? What's that? Public speaking is number one. Public speaking, which I always find shocking, you know, sort of surprising, but, you know, I get it. Heights? Anybody afraid of going to the dentist? Yes. Yes, Lynn. What's that? Dentist, number three. Yes. Fear of the dark, yes, that's on here, yep. Enclosed spaces, that was named. Mice, dogs, cats are also on here, getting bit. Thunder and lightning all make the top 10 list of things that people are afraid of. Ultimately, I think we're all afraid of something. As Russ was sort of leading us into, there's also a fairly legitimate list of things that we're afraid of as well, things like fear of failure, fear of being rejected, the fear of being abandoned or dying or becoming sick, the fear of being trapped or stuck. For some of us, we struggle with the fear of losing control. Anybody can relate to that? Some of our type A personalities. A fear of going through your entire life with it being ultimately completely meaningless, having no significance or grounding or purpose in life. Lots of us go through life experiencing some kind of fear or another. There are a lot of theologians that suggest that there are over 365 references to fear in the scriptures, and many of them are God saying over and over again, do not be afraid, which leads us to believe that probably we need some reminders in this area, right? The truth of the matter is, a lot of people hold faith and fear as diametrically opposed. How can somebody be faithful, trusting in God, while at the same time being afraid? I think that that dichotomy is a little bit too reductionistic. Sometimes I think our fears are healthy. Sometimes our anxieties are not necessarily the most productive things to experience in the middle of the night, but they help prepare us for the numerous possibilities of what might be ahead. If you're like me, you do some of your best thinking at night as you examine the entire pantheon of what may be possible and every single possible thing that could go wrong with something. This, by the way, is called catastrophizing or something like that. It's where you sit there and rehearse in your mind every possible terrible scenario, which is where we understand where Murphy's psychology comes from. Ultimately, I can't claim that this is the most productive use of the hours of 1 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the morning, and yet many of us find ourselves experiencing sleepless nights at least at some point in our lifetime. What do we do with this? Perhaps the theologian in me just wants to encourage you to turn all of these cares over to God, to pray about them, to lift them up. And I think that's part of what psychologists would oftentimes advise people to do. Name it out loud. It's amazing what happens when we go through life and we have a hard time recognizing that we're actually afraid of something, so we push it down and we don't name it out loud. You can imagine a kid right before the first day of school laying in his bed and shaking, trembling, worried, anxious, afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. A parent comes in, just like in this story. What's the matter? Why are you shaking? I'm not afraid. Okay, you just said you're not afraid. That is a pretty good indicator you're afraid of something. Tell me, what's going on? I'm worried about getting on the school bus tomorrow, Mom. Every once in a while, when we name our fears and our anxieties out loud, it's amazing how clenched fists and racing hearts are suddenly opened, and we find ourselves breathing and returning to being a relatively unanxious presence in the world, especially when the person who hears your fears validates them, understands them, and is able to hold them in their proper place. I was afraid to get on a school bus too. I was afraid to eat in a lunchroom with brand new friends. I was afraid that my teacher was going to be the strictest teacher in the entire school. I was afraid that nobody in my class would like me. I was afraid that in Sunday school there would be mean kids who didn't accept me for who I was. And you know, the thing that's interesting as you live life and you look back on the next generation who's coming behind you is oftentimes the same fears that they're feeling today are the exact same fears that were felt by you in some similar related way. When you understand your fears, you can hold them in their proper place. Why am I afraid of spiders? Why am I anxious every time I see snakes? Oh, it's that freaky movie Indiana Jones. When he falls into a pit and there's not just one, there's millions of snakes everywhere. Can you imagine yourself in the same spot? Where there's one, there's a million more. Which gets us into number two. The next step in confronting your fear is to face it gradually. Maybe the first step to getting over your fear of snakes is to be in the same room at a zoo where there's a piece of glass that's thick and resilient between you and it, and you can look at it from way across the room, and you can feel your blood pressure rise and your heart rate elevate, and you can hold it in its proper spot, and your cousin runs over there, "I'll hold it," and you're like, "Not me. I will leave the building now." But the next time you go to the zoo, you're standing next to your cousin who's holding the snake. "See, look at the snake. What's there to be afraid of?" "Thanks, cousin." And the next time you run your hand over the snake's body, you still feel your heart rate rise, but maybe you recognize that you are in control of your body, you're in control of your reactions, you're in control of how you respond in that moment. And the next time you get to hold the snake and it's you chasing your cousin around because you recognize that they've been taunting you for your entire life. We can confront our fears gradually. Sometimes we're afraid of people, a supervisor, a boss, a friend who doesn't treat people right all the time. Another approach that you can use to confront your fears is related to some of the things I've been describing, to use mindfulness, to use the gift of meditation. I recognize that this illustration won't go over well for everyone in this room, but there was a lot of fuss made last year about J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines, and he would go and sit in front of the goalpost before every game, and he'd crisscross applesauce his legs, and he would just meditate, because he too would experience all forms of anxiety and restlessness on the beginning part of the game. And so his practice was to just go out and visualize the field, to simply take it all in. And by doing that, he was able to ground himself so that his heart, his body, his mind, and his spirit were prepared for the game that was about to take place. I'm sure that there are Spartans who also meditate too, just to keep things balanced and fair. I hope that you have a spiritual practice that grounds you as well. And so if you're anxious about having a difficult family conversation with a family member, if you're afraid about confronting a long-standing secret within your family system, that you can practice that experience of meditating, of grounding yourself, of lifting this into prayer. God, I cannot control how this person responds. I can only control what I do. I can't make sure that there's never a spider within 8 feet of me or whatever that statistic is, but I can control how I respond. Honey! At least that's what I've heard. Another thing that you can do is not feed your fears with worried thoughts. This is me redacting an early part of my sermon. One of the things that a lot of us are prone to do is rehearse the very worst case scenario in our mind over and over again. And as you do that, it only feeds or gives amplification or furthers the fear that you have in your life. And so instead, if you can find yourself saying a different phrase besides what you oftentimes say, what if, what if, what if, another response to that might be saying, what if everything's fine? I remember a couple of years ago, I was super anxious about COVID. You might not have shared those same fears and anxieties, but I remember being really anxious about leading this church in particular through what was one of the most complicated times in ministry. And I remember having one of my midnight sessions of wondering and worrying, what if nobody ever comes back to church? What if this whole thing folds? What if? And I remember all of a sudden feeding the other part of my mind with, and what if it turns out all right? And it was amazing, just that one thought gave me a small ray of light that maybe everything was going to be okay. At least it was possible. If you're like me and you start worrying about stuff and you go all the way down the road, it's almost a foregone conclusion by the time the clock strikes 3 o'clock in the morning that every possible thing that could ever go wrong in this scenario has. I hope you don't struggle with the same thing that I do. But it's amazing how incredibly disarming it can be if you just say, well, what if it works out? Have you considered that, John? Have you thought about what would happen? Another thing that you can do is use your body to release negative or anxious energy. This has been a huge growing edge for so many people in our world today, who, in addition to using things like prayer and mindfulness and meditation, also find themselves utilizing their body through yoga or Pilates or whatever form of physical exercise. Some people like to run. For me, I just like getting on a bicycle. And usually the first couple of miles, I have all these thoughts going through my head. But usually by mile 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 or whatever, all of those things are now soundly in the rearview mirror. It's amazing to me what physical exercise, whether it's swimming in a pool or walking or running or biking or whatever form of physical exercise, just getting some of that out, it's almost like it evaporates through your sweat. I hope that you're able to find some way to be active to confront your fears. The next way you can confront your fears is by spending time with people you love, doing activities, talking, releasing things off your chest, allowing yourself to experience the joy of not being alone in your fear. How many of us, as soon as somebody else walks into the room when we're afraid of something and stands side by side with us, all of a sudden feel a lot better? Back in the day, I used to play quarterback on the football team, and I'm here to tell you that when I was with my teammates, I felt a lot better than when I was trying to do something like a naked bootleg rolling out all by myself, and there was this like 250-pound lineman bearing down on me, getting ready to kill me, as I recall. I liked having my offensive lineman in front of me. Another thing that you can do with fear and anxiety is allow it to have its time and space, and then simply say, I'm done with this for now. Admittedly, this kind of thing doesn't work for everybody, but you kind of ride the wave of fear and anxiety, and you get to a point in your day where you're like, enough's enough. I am going to focus on something else. And you build a psychological barrier between yourself and your fear, and you say, at this point, I'm just going to have fun. And you make a decision that at that particular moment, you're not going to think about it anymore. It's called having a healthy and appropriate boundary psychologically. I can't do that at all. And if you can, congratulations. Another piece is, if you're afraid of something, but you're a little bit less afraid of something else, a strategy that you can apply is to go out and do the thing that you're less afraid of and build up a propensity for confronting your fear before confronting the larger fear in your life. I hope this is helpful for you to think about how you might confront the fears that exist in your life. All of us have things we're afraid of. For some of us, it's the doctor's appointment that's looming on the calendar in the future. For some of us, we're afraid because there's a difficult conversation that we've been putting off inside our family for years and years, and at some point, it's going to surface and come to the forefront. In other parts of our lives, we're anxious or afraid because one of our kids has come to us and said, Dad, Mom, we're moving. And you're afraid about whether or not they'll be okay as they go off to college or they start their own life with a loved one or go off on their own on some independent study in some other country. All of us have fears. Maybe you're afraid of one of these things that others find somewhat irrational, like spiders or snakes or the fear of public speaking. One of the things that I think God does really well is encourages us not to be afraid. Ultimately, we have a promise from God that is unwavering. It's one of my favorite parts in Scripture, Romans chapter 8, where God proclaims in no uncertain terms that there is nothing in all of the world that we could ever do, which that is a fairly long list of terrible things that we can do that can ever separate us from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. Some of us are afraid that we're going to let down God like we let down parents or grandparents. And I'm here to say that God is certainly hoping the best for us, that God expects us to be the best versions of ourselves that we can possibly be. And yet, this fear of not making God's expectations, of not making the mark, is one of those fears that I want to encourage us to set aside. We are not a church here in the expression of United Methodism that I'm a part of, that you're a part of, that believes that God is up there with an angry, wrathful perspective. Instead, like I've said many times in messages, I believe that God is always standing at the end of the driveway like any parent would, knowing that we've gone wayward, knowing that we've made mistakes, knowing that we haven't hit the mark, haven't hit the target, saying, like, you are still welcome in my house. Romans 8 proclaims that in no uncertain terms. But that doesn't mean that all of our fears are gone. In the Hebrew scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, people were worried, and the prophet Isaiah was proclaiming over and over again for the people not to be afraid. They had just lived through something called the exilic period. They had been cast all across the Mediterranean, the people that God had made a covenant with. They were spread to all four corners of the known world at the time. And Isaiah was proclaiming, like, God is still with us. God is still here. God still loves us. There's nothing that we can do to separate ourselves. The words from the scriptures are, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through waters, which you could understand being afraid of that if you grew up living in the desert. I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You don't have to be afraid of the fire. You don't have to be afraid of the water. You don't have to be afraid of whether or not God loves you. Isaiah proclaims this. Why? Because the faithful people that God chose over 2,600 years ago were afraid. And I guess I take comfort in knowing that when I'm afraid, I'm not alone. David was afraid. Moses was afraid. Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, was like, God, take this cup from me. If you have any other plan to save the world, I'm all ears. Jesus himself, I think, was afraid. Peter and all of the other disciples after Jesus was crucified was afraid. Paul, the apostle, at moments when he was in prison, was afraid. He worked out his salvation with fear and trembling. You are not alone in your fear. And to take things back to Butterfly Hill, this is my hope for you. In a time when so many people are anxious about the election, you have the ability to say God loves us and redeems us and our feet won't be burned. In a time when people are afraid about the economy, you can say people have lived through enormous economic upheaval through the past and God has been with us through it all. In a moment when people are afraid about increasing divisiveness and division about all different ideology, you can remain rooted and planted in knowing that the butterflies that you experience in your stomach are also experienced by the whales and by the other friends who are going to school for the first time. You are not alone in your fear, but you can do something about it. You can name it. You can pray. You can experience a release through exercising your body. You can do all kinds of things. You can experience solidarity with other people who fear the same things. And you can overcome fear with God's help. To say it another way, you can do hard things. Because that's what God created you to do. Thanks be to God for the butterflies in our stomach that still remind us of our fear, because it's precisely, I believe, in those moments that we overcome those fears, that we know that God is still up to great things in our lives. So go out and name it, claim it, own it, share it, and help somebody else overcome their fears as well. Amen.
Fear of public speaking. I understand completely. I told somebody that one time before. I always get nervous when I get up here. Somebody says, you look calm. Thanks, George. Says, you look so calm. I says, you ever seen a duck? Duck going down, it's just nice and floating on top. Underneath, it's just churning up a storm. And every single time I get up here, I get like that. But I've found in order to do it, you just got to start. And the best way to start is with something that you're comfortable with and you know other people are comfortable with too. So we're going to start by saying, God is good.
All the time.
And like the boy said in the thing, he says, my butterflies are starting to calm down. We have two quilts this morning. One is for Michael Santala and the other one is for a child of God. As you leave the sanctuary, please stop. Tie a knot. Say a prayer, sign the card, and let those two know that we're thinking about them, we're praying for them, we're hoping for them, and that we love them. Now please join me in an attitude of prayer. Good and gracious God, God who created the heavens and earth, all women and men in your image, and all the wonders in nature, we bring you praise and glory. It is through your grace that gives us hope and through your love that gives us strength. Our lives are filled with admiration at your wonders and thankful for your love. We come this morning humble, anxious, and eager to learn all the things that you have in store for us. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things that we have coming into our lives. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched in no other way. To give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Slow us down, Lord, and open our ears to that small voice that we miss so many times rushing around in our day-to-day lives. Let us hear your word that we may share that word with others and be with them in their time of need. Open our eyes that we may see all the wonders of the universe that you created for us, that we may experience all that life has to offer and all that you have to give. Open our hearts that we may be there for others that are in need of your love, and help us do your work so that they may feel your love through us and know that you are there for them. We pray for the quilt recipients that they may feel your love through us and through the quilts, and that this gives them hope to fight the battles they are faced with, knowing that we are surrounding them with our love and prayers. We also pray for the people that need you the most, those that don't know yet that they need you. Help us help them find your way, to know your love, and to know that you are with us and them every step of the way. To know that even when things seem at their worst, we can turn to you and know that you are there. Guide our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, the state, and the local leaders, that the decisions that they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Show us, Lord, that we may find the best that you have in store for us, and that we can turn that around and do the best we can to honor and praise you, to love those around us as you show love for us. Help us to show that same love to others, working together to make this world whole and to honor you as we do. Now, in this time of silent prayer and meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and to ask your help with our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples left their families and their lives behind, they spent much time learning from Jesus. But when they asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And now we are going to pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And don't forget, God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to wait on us this morning as we collect our offerings. But also a reminder that it is time for our NOAA Lunch Project. We will be in need of lots of supplies for that. There's a board out in the community room with sticky notes on it. You can pick a sticky note and bring those items in. If that's not convenient for you, cash donations are always appreciated. as we continue to reach out to our neighbors in need. Thank you for your generosity.
Lord, we bring our offerings to you and to the work of this church that we do in your holy name. Multiply our offerings and multiply our efforts to be a place where all can feel welcomed into the loving arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As you go out into this world, know that God has given you everything that you need to confront your fear. And if you don't want to, it's okay. You don't have to. But you can. You can overcome hard things. Don't be afraid. God is with you now. God has always been with you. And God will always be with you into the future. Thanks be to God. For the butterflies, and for knowing that even whales have butterflies as well. Go out into the world with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.